calling all who cannot wait any longer for joy, for hope, for some good news. The time has come and the waiting is over. Here in this time, we have an old story to tell, one that has been shared over and over for thousands of years. But still somehow it remains unheard, still radical and risky, breaking through into these days of darkness and cold, division and fear, interrupting the perpetual stories of violence and loss and the feelings of powerlessness. Into the errands and the errors of our everyday, Christmas arrives not only to comfort, but to awaken, to reassure and also stir us up into a new life, a life of peace and justice and courageous love struggles to be born, wondering if we will yet be the ones who make room in our lives and our world for the refugee, for the poor, the plain and messy sweetness of a new baby. If we will take the journey to Bethlehem, if we will be changed by the presence of a love that meets us where we are, in the fields, wherever we lay, and calls us forth into a new journey, a braver and a bolder life, believing that it's not too late for strong and gentle people to win, for compassion and truth to have the final say, for the bright light of hope to shine through, even when life seems bleak and we fear all is lost. So come, let us celebrate the good news of Christmas this morning. And let us worship together. These opening words, adapted from some by Gretchen Haley, welcome all who have gathered this morning for our special Christmas carol service. Welcome to those of you who are here in person at Essex Church, and welcome to everyone who's joining via Zoom from far and wide. For anyone who doesn't know me, my name's Jane Blackall, and I'm minister with Kensington Unitarians. In today's service, we will, of course, be returning to the old, familiar Christmas story, looking at it through a Unitarian lens, as always, through readings, reflection, and lots of carol singing, so we can take some time to explore our own understanding and reconnect with the deeper meanings of the season. But before we launch in, let's take a moment to appreciate the fact that we are here now together. We've gathered once again as this spiritual community, this sacred space we co-create by our presence and intention. So let's consciously set aside any fuss or bother that we came in carrying. We can always pick it up again in an hour or so if we need to. This time and space is precious, so let us be here now. I'm going to light our chalice flame as I do each time we gather. It's a simple ritual that connects us with Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists the world over, and it reminds us of the proudly progressive historic tradition of which this gathering is part. This Christmas we light our chalice in celebration of the divine light, the light waiting to be reborn in every atom of our bodies, in every thought of our minds, in the very essence of our soul. The light of God waiting for humanity to reach out to it so that hope and peace and joy and love may reign. And let's light the candles on our Advent wreath too. It's the third Sunday in Advent, and the third candle is traditionally the pink one. It represents joy, so may we know joy this Advent season. Life can be a bit of a mixed bag, but let's pay attention to those little moments of joy where joy breaks through. So time for the first of many carols this morning. After this first one, all the carols will be unannounced, so just follow the order of service and that should see you right. If you're at home, the words will all be up on screen, so you can just take it as it comes and be surprised when the next carol comes along. Or the running order is also on the website if you want to follow everything. I think Charlotte has put the link in the chat for you. So sit or stand as you feel most comfortable, and that goes for the whole service. Our first carol is O Come All Ye Faithful. So let's take all those joys and concerns, both spoken and unspoken, into a time of prayer now. This rather Christmassy prayer is based on some words by my dear old friend, Simon John Barlow. You might want to adjust your position to get comfortable. You might want to close your eyes or soften your gaze. Maybe there's a posture that helps you to feel more prayerful. Whatever helps you to get into the right state of body and mind, to be fully present in this sacred time and space with yourself, with each other, and with that which lies within us and beyond us. Spirit of life, God of all love, in whom we live and move and have our being, we turn our attention to you, the light within and without, as we tune into the depths of this life, and the greater wisdom to which and through which we are all intimately connected. Be with us now as we allow ourselves to drop into the silence and the stillness at the very centre of our being. God of all love, light of the world, who shines throughout creation and through the lives of all good people, be born anew in us this day and every day. In this season, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Christ. Grant us the peace to accept ourselves and accept each other, just as Jesus did. to be amazed by your awesome presence, to be alive to the ever-present delights and miracles of your creation. Holy Spirit, source of nourishment, be with us in times of darkness, in times of gestation, digestion, and pondering. May your compassionate light lead us to the peace and healing to digest all that life brings our way, that we may grow in loving awareness. Spirit of love and light, inspire all our thoughts, pervade all our imaginations, guide all our decisions. Hold us in the peace of our heart's silence. Speak tenderly through us in all our words. Be the energy of our actions and the sharing of our gifts for the harvest of humanity. God, we ask for the grace and strength to live as your faithful, joyful children and to play our part in the healing of the world. And in a good few moments of shared silence and stillness now, may we speak inwardly some of the deepest prayers of our own hearts. Maybe something in our own life or the life of the world is causing us sorrow or grief. Maybe we're feeling full of gratitude and feel moved to give thanks for our blessings. Let us each silently lift up whatever's on our heart this morning and ask for what we most need. Spirit of life, God of all love, as this time of prayer draws to a close, we offer up our joys and our concerns, our hopes and our fears, our beauty and our brokenness. And we call on you for insight, healing and renewal. As we look forward now to the coming week, help us to live well each day and be our best selves, using our unique gifts in the service of love, justice and peace. Amen.
Thank you. This reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." And this shall be a sign unto you: ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Thank you. The Truth of the Story by Kate Brady McKenna. They say a story can carry a truth far greater than the literal truth. We Unitarians know the value of stories. We know they do carry truth. We know they carry more truth than just the plain truth ever can. Maybe we can't believe a virgin gave birth to the Son of God, but we can believe that all births are miracles, worthy of celebration and wonder. Maybe we can't believe angels brought revelations, but we can believe truth can be revealed through the actions and words of those who dare to speak it and to act it. Maybe we can't believe the angels sang to shepherds, but we can believe that those revelations about life can come to and through even those we think are the most humble. Maybe we can't believe the wise men traveled to see the newborn baby king, but we can believe that we should never be too lofty or think ourselves too clever or too rich to see the wonder and majesty in tiny things. Maybe we can't believe that Jesus brought back the light by redeeming our sins, but we can believe in a leader and teacher and prophet who brought and brings illumination to the lives of those who wish to listen. We can believe in the light. Always we can believe in the light. Maybe we can't believe the Christmas story, but we can believe in it as a story which points to a truth greater than we can possibly imagine.
We're moving now into a time of meditation. I'm going to share some words by M. Jade Kaiser of the Enfleshed Collective. I suppose it's a prayer poem called God in Solidarity. It speaks of the central notion of the Christmas story, that Jesus is in some sense God embodied. And so God knows what it's like to be human, a human born in the humblest of circumstances, living on the edge, suffering and struggling along with all the rest of us. Regardless of what theology you came in with today, I wonder if you can still explore that idea in this time of meditation. The words will take us into a few minutes of shared silence, which will end with the sound of a bell, and then we'll hear some beautiful music from our quartet. So again, let's each do what we need to do to get comfortable. You might need to put down anything you don't need to be holding. You might want to close your eyes. And the words are just an offering. Feel free to use this time to meditate in your own way. So some words by M. Jade Kaiser. God takes on flesh and joins life in the struggle. This is what radical solidarity feels like. Lives and souls and bodies entangled. Risks and possibilities shared. We're in this together. The mess, the beauty, the work. Don't be afraid to feel hopeful. God's promises are kept. God won't opt out or run away. God won't give up when things get tough. God won't defend power or privilege or institutions or tradition at the expense of freedom or love or liberation or your worth. God's withness is birthed at the margins. God knows what's at stake. Let all who are weary rejoice. All of evil's deceptions will be revealed, and fear of unjust powers will cease. The liberating one now dwells among us, calling upon hearts from all walks of life to open, to take courage, to soften, to release. Behold, the sacred enfleshed reveals the way of love.
The same stars shine by Cliff Reid. The same stars shine on us as shone on Bethlehem when Jesus was born. They shone on the same world with light that even then was ancient beyond comprehension. It was a world of misery and unrest, beset by war and pestilence, oppression and bitterness, cruelty, grief and pain. It was a world not so very unlike our own as we might think, but there was hope shining like the stars, shining in a child, in his mother's love, shining in his father's tenderness, shining in the wonder of shepherds, the awe of travelling sages. And there is hope now, shining in human love, shining in human courage and compassion, in the human mind turned to good and noble ends, shining with the spirit that filled Jesus. Beneath the same stars that shone on Jesus, on all great souls, all souls who strive and struggle on this good earth, we pray to be worthy of the promise implicit in our birth.
So it's an old familiar story. Most of us have seen a good number of Christmases come and go, and the story of Jesus born in a manger is one we probably all know well, or at least we probably think we do. Various renderings of the story in popular culture, not least in school nativity plays, they tend to play a little bit fast and loose with the details. Everything gets a bit mixed up, it drifts from the original text. And that's okay. We're allowed to play with the story, the myth, the archetypes it contains. This is a perfectly legitimate way of working with the text and the tradition to get to the deeper truths that it holds. Each time we encounter the Christmas story, it will speak to us anew if we let it. If we really listen, instead of setting our ears and our brain to autopilot, if we open ourselves to what it has to say to us today. And each of us will have our own relationship to the season and to the wider Christian tradition. Therefore, the story will bring up different associations, resonances, and baggage for each of us. As Unitarians, sometimes we get a bit hung up on the traditional language, understandably, and yet we sing the old familiar songs, albeit sometimes with the words tweaked here and there, you may notice. Still, today we sang with gusto, "Remember Christ our Saviour was born on Christmas Day, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ to be our sweet Saviour. And oh come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." I picked the hymns to be Saviour heavy today. So what is the spirit in which we sing those words? I guess some of us can sing without reservation. For a few of us, Jesus is still perfectly central to our theology, and we're fully at ease with our Christian roots. For some of us, there's likely to be more ambivalence and awkwardness, perhaps even a sense that we're crossing our fingers while we're singing these traditional words, because they're not really our theology. It is complicated. Perhaps for most of us, we're just enjoying a good sing-along, not probing too deeply into what it all means. But Unitarians do tend to be concerned about such things. But this year, I found myself wondering about the talk of Christ our Saviour. What does that mean? How could it helpfully speak to Unitarians outside of the confines of mainstream Christian theology? We don't tend to talk about salvation much, not in the traditional religious sense anyway. Our take on sin and redemption tends to be much more this worldly. But thinking about it a bit more broadly, I'd say that salvation in the expansive sense is still a real and present concern for most of us. Don't we all have moments, perhaps quite frequently, when we want to be saved? That is, moments when everything is awful, when we feel powerless in the face of our own problems or in the face of the world's strife, and we desperately wish that someone would swoop in and make everything better, solve all our problems, wave a magic wand, sort it all out, smite the baddies, and still be home in time for tea. In those moments, I'd say at some level, most of us yearn for a rescuer, a saviour, one who will keep us from harm. Christ our Saviour. My old friend Simon John Barlow, whose words have popped up already several times in this service, he was very big on Christmas. And he often reminded people, Christ is not Jesus' surname. It's more of a job description, a title, a role. The origin of the word Christ comes from anointed one. So from the Gospel of Luke, "Unto you is born this day a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord," an anointed Saviour. So what might we take from this? Perhaps rather than being the Saviour, with a capital S, Jesus is anointed as a Saviour. We might say he's an example. For some of us, the prime example. But an example of a way of being in the world that might just save us, that might liberate us from the worldly sources of suffering that drag us all down. Perhaps he shows us what it might look like when a human embodies the light of God, and how transformative that can be in a world of struggle and sorrow. Born in the humblest of circumstances, in a turbulent time, in the back of beyond, living among outcasts, at home in the margins of society, Jesus preached a radical message of love and liberation. Love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself, and P.S. everyone is your neighbour. Easier to say than it is to do. But his message and example is one that we would all do well to follow, as best we can in our time and in our place, because it's a signpost to salvation here and now. And that's the message I want to leave with you today. It's not really about what happened once upon a time in Bethlehem. It's about how we can each be agents of salvation for each other and for this precious earth we share, if we own and embrace that calling for ourselves. If we roll up our sleeves and get stuck in to the messy work of saving the world. In our own humble way, each day, we can embody the light of God. And in that spirit, I want to close this mini reflection with some famous words from St. Teresa of Avila. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on the world. And may it be so for the greater good of all. Amen. A few announcements then. Thanks to Ramona for tech hosting. It is not the easiest day to tech host, and we are extremely grateful for you holding it all together. Thanks to Charlotte for welcoming everyone at home. Thanks to Patricia and John and Chloe for reading. Many thanks to Andrew and our quartet for wonderful, wonderful music today. You've really pulled it amazing. Thank you to Carolyn for greeting and Liz for helping out on the greeting, and Patricia and doubtless David for being involved in getting the lunch together. Oh, Julia, where's Julia gone? Thank you, Julia. Oh, she's already out there, is she? So thank you to everyone who's helping making the lunch come together. I've gone off script already. Stay for lunch, that's the message. We've got tons and tons of food and probably leftovers too. Stay and eat with us. If you're online, please stay for a chat with Charlotte. I know it's really terrible that we're talking about food and cake and all the rest of it every week and you can't join in. If I could email it to you, I would. Have a cake on us at home. We've got various small group activities coming up. Heart and Soul, our contemplative spiritual gathering, takes place twice a week online. There's one tonight at 7 o'clock on the sacred. We'll have a little break over Christmas and resume again on Boxing Day. And there's also an in-person Heart and Soul this Wednesday night at the church. So do come along for that if you can, and let me know if you come in. We've got loads of interesting events coming up over the festive season. On Friday night we've got a midwinter gathering with a small folk concert of European folk song for midwinter by Marilisa Valtazanu. That's at 6, and it'll be followed by a spiritual gathering from 7 o'clock. Next Sunday there's no morning service, but there'll be a 5 o'clock candlelit Christmas Eve, more carol singing but a more low-key, quiet, contemplative mood. It's always really atmospheric and lovely to come along to that one. And we've got a mini retreat on New Year's Eve in person and on the 30th online. I really would like to know who's coming to that, so email me if you haven't already, if you want to come along, or have a chat if you want to know more. Sonia's got one more near class before the end of the year, I think. That's Friday at lunchtime. Have a word with Sonia if you want to know more about that. Well, there's loads of flyers. And do take time to look at all the fancy posters and flyers and signposts we put up in the last week, because it looks quite flash outside and we're proud of it. I'm sure there's more I need to tell you, but a lot of information is on the back of your order of service if you're in the room, and of course it's in the Friday email if you're at home. The congregation very much has a life beyond Sunday mornings. We encourage you to keep in touch, look out for each other, and do what you can to nurture supportive connections. So just one last carol before our closing words and closing music. Ding dong, merrily on high. May the love and goodwill of this season be with us through all the days of the year and bring us strength and courage and faith. May the blessed peace of this season be felt deep in our souls and bring us comfort and serenity. May the light of this season shine in our hearts and bring us moments of laughter and contentment. And may the joy of this season be shared with others and bring us hope for all the days to come. May it be so for the greater good of all. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.